Lord, open thou my heart to hear, and through thy word to me draw near. Let me thy word e'er pure retain. Let me thy child and heir remain. Amen. This sermon needs a disclaimer. If you know anything about history at all, as far as we know, they did not have MP3 players or iPods in 1000 BC. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open to Ecclesiastes. We will be in chapter 1, one verse there, several that I'll read, chapter 2, and then end up in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. In the pocket there, it's about page 563 after Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. Almost 100 years, almost a century, the Lord Jehovah has given me under this sky, here on this earth. My days have been long, interesting, filled with joy and gladness because of something that happened to me when I was 15 years old. I fell, and God lifted me up. I remember back those days we lived in Jericho. It was about 14 miles away from Jerusalem, and my granddad was just insistent that I was going up to Jerusalem with him. Now, that was the place to be. Everybody wanted to go to Jerusalem. It was such a beautiful city, and there was a king there named Solomon, who was absolutely the wisest man in the world. There were people, like the Queen of Sheba, came from far away to just hear Solomon talk. He would talk about plants and trees and animals, everything under the sun, because he was the wisest man in the world. And these counselors to the king would go back to their countries and tell people what King Solomon, our king, was saying. So I was a bit excited when Granddad said, we're going up to Jerusalem, but you know, it's mostly old people. But fortunately, my mom had got me one of these. I could listen to my tunes on my MP3 player. No, it wasn't an iPod, but I could listen. And there was a song that came out in April of that year, and I caught it by accident on FM radio, and I heard it. It was Travie McCoy and Bruno Mars singing a song, I Just Want to Be a Billionaire. I'm not going to sing it for you because some of the words you really shouldn't say. I just want to be a billionaire so bad. So I figured, shouldn't be too bad to walk those 14 miles. I'll stick these in my ears, and the louder they sing, the louder I turn it up. I'll just listen to my tunes. It's out of radio frequency there, so I recorded it and then just put it on repeat. I didn't realize some of those old people could really walk. It was a 7,000-foot climb in the 14 miles from Jericho up to Jerusalem. We're talking major uphill. And I thought, no problem for me. I'm young, 15 years old. I can get up there easy. Well, I was huffing. And these old people, it seemed like the steeper it got, the louder they sang, the songs of Zion, the songs of ascent. They sang louder, and I just turned it up louder. I also found that as I walked along, it was a little bit easier to take the dust and the altitude if I just closed my eyes and walked along. They sang louder, I turned it up. Kept walking along with my eyes closed. You know, I figure I got rhythm, I'm cool. I'll just rock on. Just listen. And I kept walking. This got louder. I couldn't hear them shouting at me. And all of a sudden, I was falling. Head over heels, in the dirt and the rocks. Unbelievable. I lost my MP3 player. I just remember how relieved my granddad was when they finally pulled me up out of there and laid me down in the road. And my granddad looking over me with his anguished face, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, but I lost my MP3 player." "That's all right. Are you okay?" "Yeah, but I really hurt. Can you walk?" So they got me up and helped me the last few miles. I'm feeling bad inside and out at this point. We finally reached the summit. Jericho's behind us 14 miles in the desert, Jordan River, Dead Sea. And we come up over the rise. There was a little village there, and they were starting to plant an olive grove. Looked across the Kidron Valley, and I'd never seen such a sight in all my 15 years. That beautiful temple that Solomon had just built. And the Eastern Gate. We went down a little bit and came up and over those steps, the Milo, and into those great doors. Majesty. And all the people were excited because old King Solomon was going to give a speech. My granddad was a major official in Israel at the time, and so I actually got to stand right close to where King Solomon was speaking. What struck me about the old king was that his hair had always been known as jet black, but it was gray by this time. And he had a sturdiness about him, but I could see into his eyes, and there was sadness there, like deep down inside, deep pools of sadness. And this is how he started his speech. "Meaningless, meaningless," says the teacher. "Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless." And I thought, this is what they're coming for? That sounds pretty depressing. I just want to be a billionaire. Or maybe a king like Solomon. Look at him. He's got this pomp. He's got this power. He's got these riches. He's got this city. The fame of all these people coming and this knowledge and this wisdom. Maybe not a billionaire, but at least a king. But the sadness. What does a man gain for all his labor at which he toils under the sun? He keeps saying that. Under the sun. Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place where the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome. More than one can say, I know about that. It's just wearisome. More than one can say, the eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear enough of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old. And even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. I never thought of that. I was so busy, I just want to be a millionaire. I never thought about the fact that my granddad and my parents would soon be gone. And before too long, I would be gone. Life seems to have this cycle that just rolls around to the next generation. The sun rises and sets, just like he said. Life goes on. It goes on without you. And basically nobody cares or remembers. Oh, he had more to say about how meaningless life is, but I was starting to realize that maybe everything I was thinking about and wanting so bad was all meaningless and meaningless. And then he gets to this. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun. The temple. He had these huge stables at Megiddo. He had more horses than any other king ever in Israel. He built projects all over the country. And he hated all of that? He had my attention at that point. I hated everything I had built, everything I had done, because I must leave them to one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. He used a word there that reminds you of a cold morning when you breathe out the vapor and it just disappears. That's meaningless. That's vanity. That's just, it's just gone. That's everything he toiled for. It's meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all the toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All the days his work is pain and grief. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. I thought, I just want to be a billionaire. The billionaires die too. And their billions go to someone else. And there's nothing in their billions that can keep the sorrow and the frustration and the emptiness of life from finally overtaking them and sticking this sadness in their eyes, the eyes of a king who had absolutely everything. And then he stopped. Remember, I'm standing just a few yards away from him. I can see everything of despair come out of his face. And his eyes lit up the way my granddad's eyes always lit up when he was telling me about the Messiah who would come and deliver us at that place on Mount Zion where the temple stood. And the king has this joy in his eyes when he says, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat and find enjoyment? Ah, yes. I fell. I fell hard. Not just physically, but I was dying inside because I was trying to live a life without God, shutting out my parents, shutting out anyone who tried to correct me. I know better. I was falling. I was dying inside. And that was because I was trying to live without God. To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless. A chasing after the wind. He keeps saying that, a chasing after the wind. You ever see kids try to chase after the wind? That was only a few years earlier for this than me. And I had been doing that. Because I fell, God picked me up. He showed me a life that was not so empty like chasing after the wind, where I would have to be the billionaire to gather everything and leave it for someone else. Whether I had billions or a few shekels, I could just enjoy God and his blessings. My Creator, the one who promised to send me a Messiah. Granddad kept telling me about that Messiah that would come and take away all the guilt I felt inside, the emptiness, and fill us with his presence. He would come. He would come. And the king kept talking for about 45 minutes, all the people hanging on every word. It was kind of a stream of consciousness thing here. You could hardly outline what he said, but you couldn't stop paying attention. Everything under the sun, meaningless without God, pointing to after we're above the sun, there with God, life with him. So meaningful with these blessings that he gives of wisdom and knowledge and happiness to enjoy what we have. Until finally for us too, it's gone, but not gone really. because he got down to the very end, and the preacher was looking right at me. And I'll never forget what he said. I actually got a copy and have read this every year since. The old king, with seriousness in his eyes, more serious than my granddad even looked at me, said, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you say, 'I find no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless without God. But a life with God, I know. Because my day is coming when this dust will return to the ground and this spirit will go to the God who created it and redeemed it and sanctified it. Now I know why that old king concluded the way he did. Here is the sum total. Fear God and guard his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, the whole of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. With this Messiah, this life with God, it's all good in the grace and forgiveness of Jehovah, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.